can remember to put the recorder on. So let's go back to the starting point. And the starting point is of pretty much everything we do is the Four Noble Truths. And I know most of you know these, but I'm going to go over them real quickly again. The first one is there is dukkha, or there is suffering, there's unsatisfactoriness, there is stress in our life. If we're born into this human body, we're going to eventually have some stress or some dissatisfaction with things. The second noble truth is there's the origin of dukkha, and that is this craving or clinging. Ajahn Sumedho says it's this grasping of desire. So it's not so much desire, it's this clinging or grasping, this holding on, this attachment is the origin of suffering. The third one is cessation of suffering, of dukkha. It's the abandoning of all craving. And the actual definition from the sutta is, and this, monks, is the noble truth of the cessation of dukkha, the remainderless fading and cessation, renunciation, relinquishment, release, and letting go of that very craving. So here in the sutta, saying that letting go of that very craving. So this letting go is right there in the third noble truth. Then we get to the fourth noble truth, which is the way to leading to cessation of suffering. And these are the Noble Eightfold Path. And I'm going to see these real quickly. Right view, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. So that's the starting point. And letting go is right in there in the beginning with the Four Noble Truths. Ajahn Sumedho says penetration of the third noble truth means seeing how what arises ceases. We become aware of the cessation, the letting go. So what can we do? How can we practice this? And then here again, there's this term, letting go. What does it mean? How do we let go? Do we just let go? What does that mean? How do we do it? So we thought about this. What can we work on in this retreat while we're here, while we're practicing, to actually practice letting go? And we came up with the idea of we're going to look at a couple things. And we're going to look at the body and thoughts. Because believe you me, you will have plenty of time in the next 48 hours to be with your body and with your thoughts. And that's one of the benefits of being in noble silence and being on retreat, is because that's what you're going to be with, your body and your thoughts. So we're going to look at how do we work with these? But the first thing we need to learn how to let go of, before we get started into that, is letting go of expectations. In this practice, expectations are not useful. So if you think, well, this was a bad sitter, that was a good sitter, I think I should be doing this or should be doing that. We need to let all that go. We're coming back to this present moment. So the first thing to do is let go. You can let go of your expectations. That's the first thing. So let's look at the body. And when we're working with this body and with working with this, the first thing we want to do is we want to be aware of it. We've got to be aware of the body before we can let it go. And here's where it starts. Even in the early parts, this is the Nantumhaka Sutta called Not Yours. And this is a translation by Tenisaro Bhikkhu. Whatever is not yours, let go of it. Your letting go of it will be for your long-term happiness and benefit. And what is not yours? The I is not yours. Your letting go of it will be for your long-term happiness and benefit. Forms are not yours. Eye consciousness is not yours. Eye contact is not yours. This is all talking about the senses. When we talk about the six senses, the senses are rising. It takes all of this to be there. Whatever arises is dependence on eye contact, experienced as either pleasure, as pain, as neither pleasure nor pain. That's vedana, or that feeling, that contact, pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. That too is not yours. Let it go. Your letting go of it will be for your long-term happiness and benefit. So it's telling us, let go. Then it goes on. The ear is not yours. Let it go. And it talks about ear consciousness. Your nose is not yours. That's smell. That's let it go of it. The tongue is not yours. Let go of it. And then it talks about the body is not yours. Let go of it. Your letting go of it will be for your long-term happiness and benefit. So it tells us here in the sutta, let go. So we let go of the body. The body is a sense of touch and then the body. So the Satipatthana, so how do we be aware of this? The Satipatthana Sutta tells us several ways that we can be aware of it. They talk about, you know, the elements, the four elements of the body. It talks about going into the body and you're looking at the organs and the pus and the snot and the liquid and the blood and all that stuff. It also talks about going to the charnel grounds and watching bodies as they decompose. We're not going to do all that this weekend. That's a little bit too much. We're going to kind of keep it simple here. But we do want to be aware of the body. And we can do this. One way we can do this is through a body scan. That's where we sit there and we slowly sweep through our body to see what's going on and notice what's going on in the body. We notice sensations. We notice tension. And the breath, what's it like? And we're going to do one of those later on tonight. But the body scan is a way of getting in touch with what is my body doing? What's it aware of it? Ajahn Sumedho again says, bring your awareness to the transiences of bodily sensations. So just bring your awareness to that, not just the sensation, but the movement of it. Another way we can be aware of this body, and one thing that you will become aware of, or you will experience, is a couple of the hindrances. And the one in your body is probably one you may be dealing with right now, and that's sleepiness, sloth and torpor. So you're going to experience that. And one way you deal with that is you can either take a couple of deep breaths, you can be able to look at the sleepiness that's in your body. Where is it in my body? Not I'm sleepy, but what is sleepiness like? And get curious about it. You may be dealing with another hindrance of restlessness and worry. Maybe you got here and you had an active week, or you got something on your mind and you came to get settled on your cushion, you're thinking about things. So that's restless, that's an energy. And you want to kind of bring that back by coming back and going like, where can I ground myself in my body? Come back to a neutral place in your body and kind of breathe into that and ground yourself into your body. So that's restlessness and worry. And you may experience that as you meditate, start meditating tonight or this weekend. And you want to be able to work with that, but you're noticing what's going on in your body. Where is that happening in my body? Because I got to be aware of this body before I can let it go. Ajahn Chah has this story he talks about. He says, and they're in monasteries, kind of similar to something like this, probably not quite as nice. And he says, you know, there's this little kit and this cat that comes up on the porch one day, and you think, oh, poor kitty, look at it, you know, I'm going to feed this kitty. And what happens the next day? That little kitty's going to be back, and he wants some more food, or she wants some more food. And the odds are he or she has told some of her friends about this, and you may have more than that. So the idea is we don't want to feed the kitty. We don't want to feed the hindrances. We can't feed these hindrances. We have to see them for what they are and start to let those go. But they show up in our body. So we want to kind of note these. So being aware, you're going to have plenty of time just to be aware. We're talking about being aware of your body right now. Another thing, this when you're on retreat, is that's important is it's this idea of continuous mindfulness of the body. When we're on the cushion, we sit, we're aware of it, we feel it, we're going to have body, we're going to have what's going on, but we need to be aware of it continuously. When you stand up, when you move, when you transition from here to there, not just during your walking meditation, but as you walk back to your room tonight, as you get ready to go to bed, there's this idea of continuous mindfulness, and it can start with the body. What's the body doing right now? What's the body doing right now? And a retreat is a great place to do this because you're not in a hurry. You know, you can take your time. You don't have a lot to do. You're going back to, you walk back to your room, you're going to get ready, you're going to lay down and go. Be aware of this continuous mindfulness. And we're going to try to remind you of that after every sit. Be mindful. Eating, we're going to talk about mindful eating. So we want to be able to be mindful while we're eating. And a lot of that, you're noticing your hand bringing the food to the spoon to your mouth. It's noticing what is my body doing in this moment. So this idea of continued mindfulness is something that's going to help us be aware of our body. And you'll be aware of your body because you're going to probably feel some very uncomfortable pain as you sit. Anybody who's been on retreat knows this is what happens. This is the way it goes. So we want to be aware of that. So now that we're kind of aware of the body, we're going to be working with this, we're aware of the body. How do we start letting the body go? Well, even saying that sounds kind of weird because I can't let my body go. I mean, this arm is attached to me. You know, this foot's there. I can't let it go. So the idea here is, here's the idea about letting the body go. When we talk about letting go back, it's letting go of wanting it to be different. And that's the most important thing about the body and letting go. We're letting go of wanting it to be different than what it is. This is the way the body is now. So take a moment now. What's your body like right now? Is it tired? Is it stiff? Is it comfortable? Is it tension? Just take a moment. What's it like right now? Okay, you're aware. That's awareness of the awareness of the body. Do you want it to be different? Yeah, you want to be in bed right now, laying down, don't you? Okay. You want it to be different. Part of letting, we've got to let go. This is where we are in this moment. We need to let go of wanting it to be different. And we're not pushing anything away. We're not clinging to anything. We want to be with whatever is arising in the body. And we do this on our meditation. We're in the meditation. What's arising? We let it go. We want to be. So this idea of letting go when it comes to the body is letting go of wanting it to be different. And this is difficult because our culture tells us our body should be a certain way. You know, I need to be thinner, I need to have blue eyes, I need to have this. This whole thing of the culture, our society tells us, and so we're constantly, this should be different, my body should be different. So we're trained to want it to be different. And so we kind of fight that naturally, but the idea here is how can I accept the way it is right now in this moment? What I want to let go of is wanting it to be different. And it's difficult when you're sitting, when you're on meditations and you sit tomorrow afternoon, you're sitting and your back's starting to, oh my, what am I going to do? And it's hurting. And so there is some pain, there's some stress there, and we want to see that as a sensation in the body. How can I be with this sensation in the body? How can I go into it? How can I soften around that sensation and loosen up around this? Because if I'm sitting there the whole time going, when's that bell going to ring again? I can't stand it, my back's hurting so bad. I'm wanting it to be different than what it is. And you will experience that. You will say that. You will think that. I think that. But we want to see, we don't call it pain. We call it sensation. It's an unpleasant sensation. How can I be with it? How can I be just the way it is now? That's what we talk about when we start letting go of the body. And that's what you can practice this weekend, is letting go of wanting it to be different. John Sumedha says, it's investigate pain and see it as a moving energy. So you've taken it from pain to, oh, there's energy moving in my body in this moment. And I can be with it. I can be with this. Practice the state of leaving things as they are. is the idea of acceptance. This is the way it is. So when we're working with letting go of the body, we're really working with this idea of letting go of wanting it to be different than the way it is. And be aware of that. Am I wanting it something, my body, to be differently? Because the body, if you go back to it, the body is always in the present moment. It's a great place to be. Whatever a situation is, it can't be in the past, it can't be in the future, it can only be in this present moment. And that's where we're learning to be. And we're learning to be with it just the way it is. So if you receive, so this, I want this to be different in my body, then you're not letting go. So we have the body. Now we want to look at thoughts. Because you're going to have lots of time to work at your thoughts this weekend. Now thoughts are, we want to be aware of thoughts, just like with the body. We want to be aware of thoughts. And you will be. They'll come up. They're going to arise as soon as you get quiet and you start the in-breath, the out-breath, and there goes those stories. There goes that thought, and it takes off. We're going to add these stories to it. And we constantly do that, particularly in meditation, because it's quiet and we sit there and we see it and we see the stories come up. We're not aware of the breath. We find out we're not, okay, all of a sudden we're not on the breath. My mind's gone off here. I need to come back to the breath. We actually use thoughts sometimes. If there's some pain, if I can kind of have a fantasy over here in my mind, I forget my pain. So where am I? I'm not in my body, and I'm not in this present moment, either one. But it's kind of, okay, I can, if I think about this, I won't think about my foot, you know, type thing. So I'm not in either one. I want to be aware of that. In that moment of mindfulness, when you come back and say, oh, wait a minute, I need to be on my breath, I'm aware that I'm thinking. So how do I let go of thoughts? Well, there's a lot of information on how to let go on thoughts. So we're just going to work with a few of them this weekend. And unlike the body, we do let go of thoughts. These thoughts are going to arise, and what we're doing, it's not so much a letting go, it's not a grabbing hold of that thought. It's what we want to do. And then once we do grab a hold of it, we want to let it go. If you get into the whole, I'm not going to go there, but if you get into the whole thing of right effort, if you go to right effort in the Noble Eightfold Path, it talks about this whole concept of nourishing wholesome thoughts and trying to get rid of unwholesome thoughts. And it'll tell you the different ways of getting rid of unwholesome thoughts. And we're just going to talk about a few of those tonight. The one that most of you know how to do already is noting, naming. That's a thought, that's a fantasy, that's planning, that's worry, that's doubt. You just name it. Name the thought. The thought arises. Oh, that's the thought of this. And what it does, once you start naming it or noting it, it stops the train going, that thought train going. You'll also notice this week, you'll also notice the hindrances in your body. There may be some desire arising. If you have a fantasy, a desire, to counteract that, you want to think about the impermanence of the body, old age, sickness, and death. Anger or ill will may arise as a thought, and the antidote to that is sending metta or loving kindness. If you have a thought about somebody and the anger starts, and you notice it, and that's what the awareness of it, then you want to send loving kindness to that person. And what that does, and though you may not be deeply feeling it at that point, what's it going to do is stop those anger thoughts. And we watch it, watch the anger flight, and then we come back to our breath. So those are a couple hindrances that you work with that you'll be working with this weekend too. But the idea here is we want to stop those stories. Because once those stories and those thoughts get going, we're not in this present moment. So it's the letting go of this. Pasano. He says, tune into how thoughts feel in the body. You can experience it without the story. And this is something you might want to try this weekend. An example of this might be sleepiness. You know, what is sleepiness like in the body versus I'm so sleepy, I'm so tired, I worked so hard today, I can't wait to go to bed. That's the stories. But just feeling it in your body, where's that in my body? Without the story. See what that's like. That's an experiential thing that you can do this weekend. How do I experience this in my body without adding all these stories to it? He goes on to say, it's liberating not to be trapped in the stories. He says the antidote to some of this stuff is the sense of urgency, a sense of timing. There's no time to waste. You've made a commitment to come here this weekend. You've made it, it's arranged so that you could be here. Whatever you did to get here, you're here. Use this time wisely. So when thoughts come up, come back to the breath. Focus. If you've ever had to cram for an exam that's the next day, you have a deadline that's due at noon, you have a Dharma talk that's due at 7 o'clock, what happens? You get real focused. But sitting here, you go, okay, I got plenty of time, we're going to have lots of this. No, this moment is important. Focus. Let the thoughts go. Come back to the breath. Come back to the breath. There's a sense of urgency about this. And this is a way to motivate you to be focused and clear and come back to the breath. A couple things that I do when I'm working with thoughts is sometimes I will go, who thought this? There's a thought, particularly if it's a thought that's anger, anxiety, bad mood, it's just a bad, you know, it puts me in a bad place. I'll go, well, who thought this? Did I come in here and sit down and go, I'm going to think this bad thought? Where did it come from? And you don't want to analyze that. You don't want to go, well, I wonder who did. You just, what it does is it stops the thought from going on and on and on. Another thing you can do is go, is that true? Is that thought true? Whatever you're doing. Is that a true thought? Is it true? And come back to your breath. You don't want to analyze these things. You just want to kind of stop that process. So you're letting go of these thoughts. So we have these different ways of naming it, working with it, noticing hindrance in the body. And if that doesn't work, I have some advice from the Colorado Division of Wildlife about what to do if you meet a thought. There are no definite rules about what to do if you meet a thought. Thought attacks are rare compared to the number of close encounters. However, if you do meet a thought before it has time to leave your area, here are some suggestions. Remember, every situation is different with respect to the thought, its activity, the terrain, and the person involved. Number one, stay calm. If you see a thought and it hasn't seen you, calmly leave the area. Stop. Back slowly away, facing the thought. Give the thought plenty of room to escape. That's kind of the one we do. That's what we're trying to do. Stop. Let it go. Wild thoughts rarely attack people unless they feel threatened or provoked. And that's where you're feeding it. Speak softly. This may reassure the thought that no harm is meant to it. Relax. If a thought stands upright or moves closer, it may be trying to detect your scent. This isn't a sign of aggression. Once a thought identifies you, it may leave the area or try to intimidate you by charging to within a few feet before it withdraws. The last one, don't run or make any sudden movements. Running is likely to prompt the thought to give chase, and you can't outrun a thought. So those are some things, if the other ones don't work, you can try these. So those are thoughts. So as we're working with thoughts, we're working with this idea of being aware of the body and how to let go of the body, or letting go of wanting the body to be different. Being aware of thoughts and how to let go of these thoughts. And the reason, now, you're going to work with that this weekend. But why are you working with it? What do we want to see out of this? What we want to see out of this is we want to go back to those four noble truths. There's suffering, there's clinging, and there's kind of letting go. And then there's these how to do it. But if you look at suffering, clinging, and letting go, you can work with it, and this is what part of this experiential practice is that we are going from, if I start to see this, if I'm start letting go and work back this way, okay, I'm clinging less, do I have less suffering? Or it could be, I'm suffering, where am I clinging? What can I let go of? So you can kind of work it both ways and see how it goes. What works? What's happening in your practice? What's working in your experience? Is that working? Is it doing that? You can say, you know, the questions, am I suffering? What am I clinging to? And how can I let it go? But that is the four noble truths right there. That's the first part of that's the first three noble truths. How can you let it go? And Anjan Sumedho, he talks about this a good bit. In fact, he spent like 2 years of his early in his practice. His only practice was saying, let go, for 2 years. He just did that practice, let go, let go. So he has some things. I'm going to go back to what he says, that the penetration of the third noble truth means seeing how what arises ceases. We become aware of the cessation, the letting go. He talks about, and this is important too, instead of trying to understand or figure things out, just think, let go, let go. We don't, when we're in our meditation and the thoughts, where does come from, stuff, we don't want to think, we don't want to analyze it and go, just let go, and come back to the breath. He says, just be like an earthworm who only knows two words, let go. In fact, oh, I forgot to say that. Do I have it? When I first started this practice, several years ago, I was at Spirit Rock, and I was at one of the retreats, and one of the first ones I was at, and I found this little, it's like a little paperweight thing, and what does it say on it? It says, let go, and that's one of the first things I bought, and I have it on where I meditate at home. I have that there, let go. It's one of the first things that I did, or one of the first ideas that came across when I first started my practice. You want to keep this letting go as a constant refrain in your mind so it pops up on its own no matter where you are. And our meditation is a skillful letting go. Deliberately emptying out the mind so we can see its purity. That is our practice. That's our meditation. That is our practice. As we begin to let go, and this weekend we're going to start with letting go of the body, how we work with that, letting go of the body, how we let go of these thoughts. And as we do this, we see the body starts to calm down, to begin to settle. The mind will begin to settle on its own. It will start to settle down the more you sit. And then these insights, as we begin to let all this go, these insights can arise. We get to that place of letting be. And as Ajahn Chah, who is one of the classic Thai masters of our lineage that we have, he says, many of you have heard this before, if you let go a little, you will have a little peace. If you let go a lot, you will have a lot of peace. If you let go completely, you will have complete peace. Your struggles with the world will have come to an end. So this weekend, part of what you can do is kind of experience. We're not going to end our, we're not going to get to complete peace, and we're not going to end all our struggles. But to be able to see, do I begin to have a little bit of peace if I can begin to let go a little? If I can practice this letting go, is that end of suffering, is there a little bit more peace there in my life? Thank you.